What does Jesus say about homosexuality? This and more on the We the Exiles podcast.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood.
What's up?
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
So, Chandler, have you heard the new Taylor Swift song?
I didn't until you made me listen to it.
No, I don't particularly listen to anything from Taylor Swift. Being on YouTube, you know, you get lost in the YouTube machine, as it were, and I came across this, I guess, when it came out a few days or whenever it came out. The song is called Calm Down, and we're not going to spend too much time on it, and we're not necessarily wanting to harp on specific individuals, but it is Pride Month. June's Pride Month, is that mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And so I guess she released this in response to this, but the song, I guess, is an advocating song for homosexual relationships in general, and just the idea of that everybody's too up, has their panties in a wad, mm-hmm. I guess, over homosexual relationships. And I would venture to say that this is going to be more geared toward pointing the arrow at Christians.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the way I took it. But I just wanted to read some of the lyrics here about it. Well, the chorus is, you need to calm down, you're being too loud. And I'm just like, oh, you need to just stop. Like you can't, nah. Like you can, like, can you just not step on my gown? You need to calm down. You're somebody that we don't know, but you're coming at my friends like a missile. These are really in-depth lyrics. Mm-hmm. Why are you mad when you could be glad? And she uses glad here, G-L-A-A-D, which is the gay lesbian. It's an advocate group for gay lesbians. So instead of the regular G-A-L-A-D, just like glad, she's using that in there. Sunshine on the street at the parade, but you would rather be in the dark age. Just making that sign must be taken all night in protest. Yeah, you can see there she's talking about protest. But anyway, the song goes on to reference other things in regards to homosexual culture organizations that surround that. And it's mostly taking an aim at those of us, I would say specific Christians, who have an issue with homosexuality. But anyway.
And I think it's I think it's worth mentioning because it's kind of, where our culture's at.
Right.
You know? And so she's kind of a voice for our culture, da 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 da. But that's what people think.
Yeah.
It's like, why can't you just keep your mouth shut and not say anything? I think too, it's a lot of the culture in the world has this perception that everyone that is Christian acts a certain way towards that. True Christians are loving.
Right.
They're not going to forfeit the truth of what Scripture says.
Right.
But not everyone's out bashing and slandering and saying nasty things about people in any kind of sin.
Yeah. And again, I don't listen to Taylor Swift.
But it's playing the victim.
It is playing the victim mentality, which is, sadly, the playing the victim mentality has become the norm for our culture. Every section, every group, specifically our age group or younger, just there's always something. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, to see. And this is just what I see, but I don't. We hold like this oppressiveness, mm-hmm. this definition of oppression on a lot in our culture, but specifically now it's gone to homosexuality. But I don't see that. Yeah. I see a rewarding and a uplifting and encouraging mentality when it comes to homosexuals or relationships in general. So this whole idea that they're being oppressed specifically by Christians, I don't see that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be people.
Yeah, it's just crazy, though, because there's still that idea. I mean, if you come out as a homosexual or gay and lesbian, coming out, right, the whole thing, it's praised in our culture, even here in Mississippi.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and most people will be like, oh, my goodness, how could you – you probably couldn't live there and be a homosexual. You would die. They would just shoot you on the spot or something like that. And that's not the case. I mean, you go into downtown Jackson, you're going to see a lot of the same mentality and thought processes that you're going to see in New York City, that you're going to see in Seattle, that you're going to see in Los Angeles or other major metropolitan areas. The state of our culture has shifted dramatically, and it has reached the Bible Belt as well. So it's not just.
Well, even like the whole idea of Pride Month, I know it's been going on, and I guess it's been going on every June, but for me, I've seen more this June than I ever have, just in the celebration of that.
Right.
But
And more advertising and more things of it. I mean, every single streaming app has a section for that. Everything.
Even at our local Barnes & Noble, which I think this is going on everywhere, but this just shows you how everything is escalating. But I think there's going to be a transgender something
storytelling
yeah. time
so
for
you can
kids.
Take the kids, and you can be read.
Like
books.
What in the world?
Yeah, but, and even in the bookstores too. I've gone into a couple lately. There's whole sections dedicated to books that are in celebration of homosexuality in general, and so.
And so with all of that. Cameron and I thought it would be a good time to talk about it.
Right. Which we're going to really talk in depth about it into the next thing. But I want to set up and say with all this, we're not just calling out Taylor Swift in general or the whole idea of Pride Month. This isn't about a certain section of or a group of people. This is just about sin. This podcast, like the previous episode, we talked about pornography. We want to talk about topics that really hit home when it comes to Christian, specifically Christian culture in today's church, especially in American culture. Homosexuality is something that is looked at on both sides of its presence is going to only increase.
Well, and more in the Christian church, you're seeing more and more people. With this kind of influence, like of Taylor Swift, because so many people listen to her, but not just her, a ton of other outlets. But you're seeing more and more in the Christian church trying to blend the two,
right?
Trying to get away from the idea that homosexuality is a sin.
Yeah, Jesus never spoke directly on homosexuality and all these things, which we're going to really dig into.
And that's what people
say. Right. But yeah, so we just want to open up with that because they're relevant to the topic of discussion today. Also, we're in the Pride Month, we're about to be out of Pride Month. But today's episode and everything we're discussing and how we're discussing it, we want to do it lovingly. So we're not here to harp on we're better than you mentality or we're more righteous than you. No, we want to look at everything in life through the lens of a biblical worldview. What does God have to say about this? How do we respond as Christians to these things?
Yeah, and if you're listening and you struggle with homosexuality, know that we love you and just hear us out show.
We want to try to approach this with as much grace as we can.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what we'll dive more in depth into the issue of homosexuality when we get back from our break.
Then you pop the finger out. Click it.
Jerry, have you heard of this new podcast called We the Exiles?
John, I actually have, and I've been listening to it quite a bit.
What's the best way to stay in touch with what's going on, We the Exiles?
I have heard they have an incredible Twitter page.
What's their handle?
It is @WeTheExiles.
Found it. Following them now.
Sick.
Order up!
The main dish!
Now I want to get everyone in. John, what do you say to those who say, what about Chad and his love of his life being together? Isn't that better than, say, the heterosexual marriage where the one of the partners cheats? Who is contributing more to the moral decay of the society? The adulterous husband with the female wife or the loving gay couple who don't do that?
Yeah, well, you're asking me to do something I really can't do, and that is make a judgment on which sin is better or worse than the other. We've suffered in this country from adultery, divorce, the abuse of children, pedophilia, you name it. I'm not going to classify those in rank. They're sins, and they destroy the family.
And homosexuality is
homosexuality,
a sin.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a choice.
It's a choice you make. It's a sinful choice.
Did you
make
a choice to be heterosexual?
I don't think I had to make a choice to be heterosexual. I think that's a natural thing.
Wait a minute. In other words, one is a choice and one is not.
Yeah.
So he was unlucky
because,
and you're lucky.
Because you're not talking about... Because it's natural to be heterosexual. That's
what do you mean by natural?
Well, I mean, that's the way God made us. That's
but
normal.
But if he doesn't feel that way, what is he then? He's not a sinner. It wasn't his decision.
Yeah, I think it was his decision.
I would love, absolutely love for the pastor to point out for me when in my life I made that decision. Because I have to tell you, it caused a lot of pain in my family. It caused a lot of pain in me. It's a very, very tough thing that I had to go through. I don't remember making that decision. If I did, maybe you can point it out, but that wasn't the case for me.
I'll approach
it's
it
who I
way.
Am. You also said that it was in the fabric of the human being to understand that marriage was between a man and a woman, and that's what family was. It must not be, because it's not in the fabric of who I am. It's not the way I see it. I think families come in all shapes, sizes, and colors.
Well, let me respond this way, Chad, and say it had to be in the fabric of humanity, or you wouldn't be here.
I believe that reproduction is. I'll give you that. I absolutely believe that reproduction is. However, I think family, the definition of family, and the definition of reproduction are very, very different things.
What I said earlier is the DNA, the genetic structure of humanity, of civilization, of society, is family. Everybody knows that. That's in the heart. That's how it works. You're coming along with others who are homosexual in their perspective and overturning what is natural to everyone.
Could they also be asking to the privilege of something you have preached for years? Marriage is a healthy, wonderful thing, and they're saying... Let us in. Why would you deny it to them?
Let me respond to Chad, too, just on a personal basis, Chad, by saying I don't think at some point you said, okay, I'm going to be a homosexual. I got two alternatives, you know, I'm going to go be a homosexual. But I do think whatever sin patterns show up in our lives, and they may be different for us, we can choose to continue down those paths of sin, whether it's adultery or whatever it is, or we can say, look, this is sin, and I need to deal with this in my heart. If this is the way I'm being led, it's not right. It doesn't honor God. It's not according to His Word. It's not going to ultimately bring blessing on my life. I make the choice at that point. I can't make a choice to be a sinner, okay? I am. We all are. But once you start down the path of sin, if you recognize that it is that, then you look to the Lord for the remedy to that.
Today's discussion is one that stirs the pot a little. I want to mention that this discussion isn't meant to stir the pot. Our intentions are not to belittle or hate upon a certain group of people, but to stand firm on God's Word and what God's Word says is right and wrong. This isn't a debate for us, and nor is it an issue in which we say with our own authority what is right or wrong. The only authority upon which we stand is the authority of God Himself. We have a mandate as Christians to not buddy ourselves with the world. This mandate doesn't mean that we don't love our neighbors, nor do we promote violence or hate towards the things we don't agree. This does mean, however, that we need and must stand firm on God's unchanging truth. To compromise on truth is to compromise on the gospel itself. We want to be honest and say that sin is sin. Cameron and Chandler don't dictate what sin is, but God in His infinite wisdom has declared what sin is through His Word. With that, today we want to talk about the sin of homosexuality, and to do so as lovingly as we can.
That clip was aired many, many, many years ago. I'm not sure the date, but that was between an actor and John MacArthur on the Larry King Live Show. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to kind of preface this segment with that just because it's kind of where our culture is and more now where it is. And I think John did a great job just explaining that this is a sin problem.
Right.
Homosexuality is a sin problem, and we are all born into sin, and we all struggle with different
right.
forms of sin.
And he didn't get angry or upset. He didn't yell or berate anything, anybody. He just was explaining what he knew to be true, which is how we should respond in light of this, which is why we want to discuss this. Too many times today, you have two sides, like with everything, a lot of things we talk about, you have two sides. One side of the fence, you have so-called Christians who, when it comes to this discussion or it comes for the going against, or let's say debate of this discussion on homosexuality, they don't come off very loving. They don't come off as Christ-like. In fact, you wouldn't look at them and see them as an example for a Christian man or woman. Mm-hmm. And those people are the people that the media and everyone else lumps the majority into when we're trying to say today and when we're discussing that that's not us at all. However, there's a flip side of that where I would say the camp we fall in that understands it's wrong and that's trying to have this discussion in a loving way while also not compromising on truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say there's even another section in there that's, I would say, becoming more popular, the budding or coexisting with homosexuality in regards to church.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that homosexuals are not allowed in church. They're allowed in church. But membership, covenant-keeping membership,
mm-hmm.
No, because you can't live in sin. And that's the issue here. We're here to say that homosexuality is a sin, just like pornography is a sin, like we've talked about, just like anything that God has declared in his word to be sinful. You can't openly live in sin and serve Christ.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
And we care as Christians for the foundation of what God has created. And as John MacArthur was explaining in that segment, is the way that God created it was man and woman
right.
to be together, to multiply, to be fruitful. And that is what God had ordained and has ordained.
Right.
We can't come along and somehow think that just because progression has happened in our culture and things have happened that we slide on that truth.
Right. And I would also say, too, that we can't look at the outside world and expect them, non-Christians, to take on our definitions. We can't expect them to do that. We can't expect sinful people to look at sin differently. The only way that they're changed their appetite towards sin is with salvation, with repentant heart in Christ, right? We get that. We know that. But I find it interesting that we're willing to compromise so much within the church when it comes to those definitions, especially when God has clearly defined these things in his word,
mm-hmm.
From marriage to what that looks like between a man and woman to the natural state of things. Yeah, the world and majority of the world are going to say there's been progression in science with the idea of evolution, all these things. None of that for us as Christians is where we should be getting our foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Our foundation can't start outside of God. It has to start with God, and God has given his clear definitions and what he expects of Christian men and women and how we define things in this world through his word.
Continuing on, I have another clip from John MacArthur. He was on the Ben Shapiro show, and the topic of homosexuality came up. And just as we're getting into this, he answers the question why homosexuality is wrong in the Bible.
Well, first of all, let me say this. The Bible identifies, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, homosexuality as a sin, clearly. There's no getting around that. That's the story of Sodom, where you have homosexuals in the city of Sodom trying to attack angelic beings who are at the house of Lot. That's why the term used to be sodomite. The Bible is clear on that. It's clear on that in the Pentateuch about that kind of behavior. It's listed with things like bestiality, sex with animals. The New Testament affirms that, but I want to hurry to say that's a sin, but that's not some kind of sin that leads the parade and is separated by light years from all other sins. That is a sin to which humanity is susceptible, and some people have more strong desires in regard to that sin than other people do, for reasons that maybe psychological, maybe part of their history in their past. It is a sin. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, such were some of you, homosexual, effeminate. Then he says, but you are washed, you are sanctified in Christ. This is a very basic question. The whole purpose of the Christian message is to confront the sinner's sin so you can call the sinner to repentance and forgiveness. The sinner doesn't like that. We had a question on the little questionnaire that your people sent me. Mm-hmm. It said, do you feel like you might be offending Democrats with some of the things you say? And my response to that is, look, my goal is to offend everyone. That is my initial goal, to tell you that you are without God in the world, that there's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're in sin, that sin brings death and punishment. But the good news is Jesus Christ is the Savior who's provided a way for you to be forgiven by bearing your sins in his body on the tree, so that God's justice is satisfied and his love can be extended to you by putting your trust in Christ. So I offend people all the time because that's necessary. If you try to develop a kind of Christianity that's inoffensive, it's not Christianity. It's not the gospel.
Yeah, and I think, too, that's where people, you'll see people respond to that. See, truth is offensive. And not just with this issue. This has been something I've seen in my own relationship with my wife. Not going into too much history, but there's a time when we were not together and she was in college and she got caught, sucked into worldly things. And because I loved her and I cared for her soul, I didn't want to see her go down that specific path. So I reached out to her. Though there were things about the way I approached it that wasn't necessarily loving, the truth still is the truth. And the truth was what made her act out in the way she did. Because in our innate nature, we want to sin. It pleases us, pleases our flesh. And we hate it when something comes against that, you know? And so what I'm saying is, you don't have to act out in any certain way. You just preach the truth, and the truth is going to be offensive. The gospel, like he said, is going to be offensive. If you're not preaching the true gospel, it's not going to be offensive.
Just like for us in pornography.
Right.
When that truth is laid out in front of us, when the word is opened and our sin is called out, in our fleshly nature, we are offended.
Right.
Because we realize, and that's the hope, is that people would realize their offense against God, mm-hmm. turn from their ways, and look to Christ.
Right. And a part of this discussion and what we want to say with him, and the reason that I like him, and another reason why I wanted to open up this segment with the clip that we did, is because we need to call sin what it is. Sin. We shouldn't want to wrap sin up in a pretty little bow to make it more palatable to people. That's how we get into these issues that happen in church that don't get talked about, like the taboo issue of pornography or other things like that, because we're afraid of the consequences of discussing that. And I see it too many times and not in a lot of churches today. They're afraid of turning people off. So they're afraid of calling sin what it is because they're afraid that they won't get people in the doors if they call sin what it is. Well, it doesn't matter. The amount of people that you get to your church, the status quo of your church, the ability to have a large budget, whatever, that's not what matters. Mm-hmm. What matters is the soul of that person. Are they saved? Are they saved by grace through faith in Christ alone? That's it. And but that also has to start with calling sin what it is in the face of it, sin. And we're here and discussing this, to be honest, and tell you that homosexuality is a sin. Mm-hmm. Like we said, not because I say it is or because Chandler says it is, but because God says it is. God is the one that gets to find truth. We don't get that privilege. We didn't make the world. We didn't create the world. If you are a Christian and you are wavering, being tossed to and fro with truth, then are you really a Christian? Mm-hmm. Because I don't see that as a possibility when I look at the Word of God. You are either, there's no such thing as lukewarm Christian, right? Christ himself, there's no such thing as lukewarm Christian. If you're lukewarm, you'll be spit out, mm-hmm. right? So there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian, so therefore there's no such thing as lukewarm truth.
Mm-hmm.
There is truth and then there's not truth. There's right and then there's wrong. There's no this postmodern thought that says today that, well, truth is relative and whatever you want to make it. No, in the Christian church, we have, in Christianity, we have absolute truth. It's God's very word.
Yeah.
And so we need to stand firm on that. And that's what we're calling people to. That's mm-hmm. what we're calling people to with what we're saying, what we're doing. And we want to do it lovingly and say that if you're a Christian and you have a struggle with homosexuality, that's not saying that you're not a Christian anymore. Mm-hmm. That's just saying that you recognize you have that issue and that you're fighting. If you're fighting it and you're not giving over yourself to the flesh, it's the same thing with us in pornography. Either A, giving over to it willingly, or B, we're fighting it.
Yeah, and we realize, just like any other sin, and I think on some level this sin can be harder because, harder in the fight because it's such an identity thing.
Yeah.
And you feel it in your being, and but it's no different than the sin of pornography or other things that affect.
Though you may have a desire, you, like he said, there's still a choice in the matter. Mm-hmm. You're still choosing to sin because that's what it is. So you're making a choice, and the choice is either to continue in sin or to not continue in sin. And as the Christian, as Christians and as the church, the body, our mission isn't to belittle people. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be gracious, and that includes homosexuals, transgender, anybody struggling in any sin, including the pedophile. We're supposed to love.
Well, yeah. And then the thing too is we understand that it's not just going to be a flip of a switch and those desires go away.
Right.
But the point is to be in Christ, to be transformed, to be renewed in your mind is a constant struggle with it, mm-hmm. hoping to get rid of that in your life.
Right.
It's not to stay in it, right, and punt on God's grace.
And a lot of this stems to, and this is just some of the more frustrating aspects of this for me, because, you know, me saying this, even us having this whole episode on this, we were more likely than not will be lumped into the what the media portrays as a hateful, unloving, bigoted Christian. I mean, this is what Christians are, you know, and that's not true for me. I love, the reason that I can love or have compassion on anybody is because of the love of Christ in me. I don't have any hateful intentions to anybody. In my natural state, I might, yeah. In my sinful flesh, sure. And do I, from time to time, get upset with things? Because I deeply care. I deeply, deeply care about what God defines as marriage. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I do. I deeply care about what God defines as right and wrong. Yes, I do. Because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
That is part of who I am. But my intentions and how I go about things, though sometimes I do get caught up in my flesh, is not to make myself seem more righteous than you.
Right.
It's to hold the standard which God's given us up high. Mm-hmm. It's to put His standard above any other standard.
I think the frustrating thing, and something that kind of creates more anger in a sense in us, it's not the people that are lost in their sin. I mean, that creates a burden for us to want to see them saved. Yes. For me, and I know for you too, is the people in their approach and proclaiming, and what really can anger me is those that are claiming Christianity, but welcoming
right.
sin into the church. And I was going to mention this. This just kind of hit my head, but so this is an example. Someone that we used to really like, named Dustin Kendrew, of the band Thrice. He was in the band Thrice, and then he was kind of a part of Mars Hill. He actually wrote some incredible worship songs.
Yeah, was my favorite worship.
He wrote one of my favorite worship songs, "Grace Alone."
Mm-hmm.
Well, last year or something, I came across where he denied the inerrancy of Scripture, and something that he's become a big advocate of is now affirming that homosexuality is not wrong, and he supports this thing, which I found out about. But like I said, this is just an example. But there's this site or this ministry, quote unquote, called the Reformation Project, which basically is a twisting of scripture.
Yeah.
Basically, how can we take the scriptures that are talked about, that talk about homosexuality in the Bible, and how can we see in them that homosexuality is not wrong? It's really screwed up. But that's an example, because, and that's too, while we can't put our trust in people and what they say, we need to go to the Word of God and stand firm on the Word of God.
Yeah. Part of the, that's where my frustration, it's not with those who are lost and who, they're going to affirm those things already in their innate nature. I'm not, like, if you want to choose to do that and have your gay bars or whatever, that's your choice. We live in a free country, have a choice. I don't support those things, absolutely not. But that's beside the point. My frustration more so is with the church. It's with our Christian culture that affirms it, because we create more confusion by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't stand firm on God's truth, when we don't clearly define what God has clearly defined, it doesn't take that long to open up God's word and to find what he says is right and wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And instead, what we do is we hold man's approval
mm-hmm.
above God's approval, and that creates the fusion that we have in a lot of churches, because we're afraid. And we throw that under the, oh, they're being unloving
mm-hmm.
category when we talk about this, when that's not true. See, again, definitions get skewed and confusion happens because we dictate unlovingness as not approving of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, true love in the form of Christian love is a disapproval of sin. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, God demonstrated the greatest act of love that ever was mm-hmm. through Christ dying for sinners who couldn't save themselves. And so that's my biggest frustration, is loving. This idea is that loving is that you approve of what is wrong. That's loving. Or you approve of what God... And that's what I want you to know if you're listening to this. Any sin, no matter what it is, homosexuality or whatever it is, when you approve it, I'm not saying don't love those people. I'm not saying work with them in their struggle or whatever that may be. But when you approve of it and you denounce the fact that it is sin, you know what you're doing? You are saying to your maker that he's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, and what he created is wrong.
It's wrong. It's not better. And that's another thing, too. Like John MacArthur was saying, part of it is a natural state. Regardless if you in your heart want it to be that way or not, you don't get to dictate that. God dictates what's right or wrong, and God's way is always better.
Mm-hmm.
The degradation of the family can be seen not just in homosexuality, but in various other areas, which we're going to talk about in a future episode too, on marriage and things like that. But when we tear down the definition or the way that God has designed things, when we move away from his design, that is when things fall apart.
So did Jesus address homosexuality in the Bible?
That's another big thing when talking about homosexuality.
We're going to hear from Vody Bachum. Great clip. And I think he does a good job at explaining that.
One is the argument that Jesus never addressed homosexuality. This is a very popular approach. People will look at this and they'll say, well, you're a Christian, which means you're a follower of Christ, right? Well, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ. Well, as a follower of Christ, it seems very strange to me that you're making a big deal out of something that Jesus never mentioned one time in the Gospels. Not one time. And for most Christians, they hear that and we're just sort of taken aback. And, you know, our response is usually something along the lines of, was bad. We don't. What? And we just don't know what to say, right? Well, here's what you say. Number one, Jesus did address homosexuality. He addressed it in Matthew chapter 5 and in Matthew chapter 19. Because in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 19, he addressed the issue of marriage. He rooted his understanding of marriage and the teaching in Genesis chapter 2. The teaching in Genesis chapter 2 that gave us marriage between a man and a woman for the purposes of procreation, illustration, and sanctification. He also made it very clear that what man is joined together, what God has joined together, man cannot separate. In other words, God is the author of marriage, not man. Therefore, God is the one who defines marriage, not man. Therefore, man does not have the right to introduce the concept of same-sex marriage. Number one, because by definition, it's not marriage, it's another thing. And number two, because by definition, it goes against what was created in Genesis chapter 2. So Jesus did address homosexuality, but there's a bigger issue here. Jesus is a member of the Godhead. You see, we believe in the one God who has existed eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate Jesus from the Father and the Spirit on the issue of homosexuality. Jesus was there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was raining down fire and brimstone. Jesus is the author of Leviticus. So you can't say that Jesus never addressed the issue of homosexuality unless you're going to argue that Jesus has a different opinion on the issue than the Father and the Spirit. This is hugely problematic because that would mean a breach in the Trinity and the whole universe would cave in on itself. Thirdly, the Bible is one story, not many. You can no more separate Jesus from Paul or Peter than you can separate Jesus from the Father or the Spirit. The Bible is one story, not many. What do the apostles teach? The apostles are whose apostles? They are Christ's apostles. So the teaching that they give us is the authoritative teaching of the church from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So again, for these three reasons, we don't have to panic when someone says, well, Jesus never addressed the issue of homosexuality. Because here's another thing. Jesus never addressed the issue of pedophilia either. So now we can point out to the person, first of all, you're wrong because he did address it in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19. Second of all, Jesus is a member of the Godhead. You can't separate the Father from the Son and the Spirit. Thirdly, the Bible's one story, not many. You can't separate the teaching of Jesus from the teaching of his apostles. And finally, if you take that line of argumentation, you would have to eventually be okay with pedophilia because Jesus never said anything about that. So can we dispense with that one?
Right. Very, very, very true. We have to understand something. Whatever Jesus says in the New Testament, he affirms. He also affirms everything with the old. Because Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead. Which means that Jesus was there at the very beginning of creation. He was there when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. He was there when the Levitical law was written out. He was there the entire time. Because he's part of the Godhead. That alone is the number one argument, I would say, for did Jesus speak about homosexuality. Second, anytime, like he said, anytime Christ addresses the definition of marriage or God's design for man and woman, nowhere in Scripture do you see any other definition for man than man and any other definition for woman than woman. Mm-hmm. There's only two genders, right? And their interaction with each other is in the natural sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, procreation, right? Which is having children. Clearly, you can't do that if you're in a homosexual relationship. And then also to display what God has created.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You can't obscure what God has created with an obscured way of living it, mm-hmm. right? You can't do that. And so those are clear. And I think the way he did it was in a loving way too. And again, truth is, like we're saying, truth is offensive. So anytime you talk with someone, if you have a friend who's in a homosexual relationship or whatever, I'm not here going to tell you that you, the purpose of this conversation is to not again, belittle other people for in their sin. It's not to look at them as less human mm-hmm. than you are. You're a sinner too.
Yeah.
You're an evil, wicked, vile sinner who needs just as much grace as the person in the homosexual, in their homosexual sin or struggling with homosexuality. But at the same time, if you're a Christian man or woman, you cannot affirm what God hates.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You cannot call what God calls sin as good.
Yeah.
You can't do that and call yourself a Christian. You cannot do that. That's not Cameron Woods saying that, and that's not Chandler Woods saying that. That's God himself saying that.
Yeah.
And we, in the state of our culture and the increasing the way that the culture is moving, we need men and women, specifically young men and women, who hold fast to the truth of God's word, who stand firm and boldly on it, and who are unwilling to waver. Doesn't mean that, again, that we're unloving. Doesn't mean that we're ungracious. Doesn't mean that we're unwilling to speak to or to have certain type of conversations with homosexuals or to even bar them from our churches. That is unloving. That mm-hmm. is ungodly. No, we're not doing that. But we are here to say that we cannot take what God has called a sin and we don't and somehow believe that we have the right to say that it is good. God defines right and wrong. Mm-hmm. God defines what's good.
Yeah, I think if you follow with any sin, if you follow the path, you see where it leads.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always destruction.
Right.
With homosexuality, you know, a common thing, which I think was mentioned in the first clip with John MacArthur, but the common thing is to say, well, wouldn't you say that it's better to have a loving homosexual relationship opposed to the married couple
who's in
adultery and things like that? Sin is sin. Just because you're in a marriage with a man, you have a marriage with a man and woman, if they're in adultery, they're in sin,
right,
just as much as
the person who's in homosexuality. It's defining a sin.
We're not creating a division there.
And just because we say that it's good, like he said, well, just having a good, see, that's the fault
mm-hmm.
right there. When we lump things into what we associate as good, we define those things rather than God himself, well, then it's easy to skew things. It's easy to have confusion there. Because we don't get to dictate that.
Yeah.
And so that's what the call of this conversation and every conversation that we have with the exiles, even if we're talking about taboo topics such as this or pornography or any other topic, is to call ourselves as Christian men and women back to the standard of holiness that God has demonstrated through his word.
So how can you love these people who are caught in sin, specifically in homosexuality? You love them by preaching the gospel,
right,
and letting the word of God do its work and trusting in the Lord and praying for them. Invite them to your churches, invite them to hang out with you, and love them in such a way. You don't commend what they're doing.
Mm-mm.
You tell them the truth in a loving way, but you preach the gospel because Christ is the one who can save.
Right.
We can't change people. We can't make people see something that God doesn't open their eyes to. So we want you guys to be encouraged that, you know, in talking on this is not to go out and be like, yeah, homosexuality is wrong. And then you become someone that is just
hateful. Right.
That's not the point.
And they may see you as that, even if you try to approach them. They may see you as, if you're preaching the gospel to them or you're calling them out in sin or whatever that may be, even if you're doing it in a loving way, understand that the innate nature of a human, of a person, is to want to stay in their sin. Their reaction, more times than not, is going to be against what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But their souls, their eternity is more worth that for them. And if you truly love them, don't give up on them, nor do you, like Chandler says, affirm them. The greatest thing the greatest danger that you could give someone is to be indifferent to their sin.
Mm-hmm.
And indifference to sin is what leads to death.
Yeah.
So let's not be indifferent. Let's call sin what it is, a sin, but let's also be loving to others who are struggling with sin, who are in sin. And let's love people, be compassionate the way that Christ was, while standing firm and holding to the truth that God has laid out in his word.
Yeah. We want to end this segment on a clip from Paul Tripp, kind of reiterating that, how we can be loving to the homosexual community.
We live in a very important moment. It's a moment when the whole issue of gender is up for discussion, maybe in a way it's never been discussed before. And that can be a troubling and confusing moment for Christians. I have to start this way, because this is the grief of my heart. We need to stop being haters. I think that it is biblically wrong, immoral, to treat any human being as a sin on two legs. To use it as a title, he's a homosexual. Well, we don't say he's a pride. He's a greed. We don't do that. And yet we've given ourselves the liberty of treating this area like we treat no other area. And so we've led with condemnation rather than leading with grace. We don't understand the concept of being deceived. We don't understand the concept of being lost. We don't understand the concept of being blinded. And so what I would say is we need to move out into our culture in the same way that God moved in on us. Two things to remember. God's move toward us never in any way compromised his law. God holds his law high. The cross celebrates God's law. But that's not all he gave us. He brought along with his law the glory of his grace. Now think about grace. Grace never calls wrong right. If wrong were right, there would be no need for grace. What grace does, it's a particular way of dealing with wrong. It's right for us to hold God's standard boldly in our culture. It's right for us to give grace to people we know are lost. It's right for us to help confused Christians to understand more clearly what the Bible says about this area. It's right for us to confront rebellion. But here's what we better do. We better be willing to give a gorgeous gospel to everyone. I want homosexuals in my church because I want them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Am I going to say to them that they're okay and what they're doing is okay? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to want transgender people who are in the midst of confusion. I want to welcome into the doors of the Church of Jesus Christ. Not in a membership way that doesn't confront what they're struggling with, but I want them to be welcomed to hear this gorgeous message of God's grace and the wisdom of God's truth.
Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For $10 a month, you can support the We the Axe House podcast and the ministry of Seeker and Servant. Only $10. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, but it brings me joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. Head on over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. That's patreon.com/seekerandservant and become an exile today. Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP, including the singles Where Would I Be and Fear of Missing Out. Check it out wherever you listen or download music.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's
time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
Welcome back to the program. Real quick, our daily, or not our daily, but our one time that we mentioned our Patreon page on our podcast. Want to bring it up just because, as you've heard, if you've been listening, we do want to gain support for this to continue it on. And, we think that this site is a really good way for, those listening, but also, enjoying and believing what we're doing with this podcast. This is a way you can sow in, patreon.com/seekerandservant, patreon.com/seekerandservant is the way you can give. We have one tier for $10 a month, and we're asking that people would at least commit to a year. I have a goal that hopefully we'll get to 10 patrons by the end of June. We have 8 right now, so that's just 2 more. I believe that can be done. So yeah, if you would like to sow into what we're doing, not just with We the Exiles, but also with Seeker and Servant, that's a great way, and we would really be appreciative of that.
Yeah, and you get a sweet mug.
Oh yeah,
a limited edition mug only through support on Patreon.
It's a nice mug.
Nice mug, and you get extreme satisfaction drinking out of it, especially if you're a coffee drinker like we are.
You'll also get early content of Seeker and Servant's music and other things that we release. We will be sure to put them on our Patreon page before anyone else sees them.
Right, and to keep up with everything else that we're doing, also to join in the conversation and just to kind of be in the know of everything with We the Exiles, follow us on Twitter at We the Exiles. That's again Twitter. It's at We the Exiles, and we hope to become more engaged on that as we grow. Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing here. But anyway, our text for today is going to come from 1 Timothy. It's going to be 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 11. So if your Bibles, 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 3. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain people not to teach false doctrine or pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. These promote empty speculations rather than God's plan, which operates by faith. Now, the goal of our instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and turned aside to fruitless discussion. They want to be teachers of the law, although they don't understand what they are saying or what they are insisting on. But we know that the law is good, provided one uses it legitimately. We know that the law is not meant for a righteous person, but for the lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinful, for the unholy and irreverent, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral and homosexuals, for slave traders, liars, perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound teaching that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which was entrusted to me. And so I just think, along with what we're saying here, that our goal for instruction is love. Doing it in a pure heart. That's number one. Not from a willingness to be right or for debate, right? And two, that it affirms and stands firm on what God has declared, in his truth, right? Sound teaching. He affirms it there. It doesn't need to be contrary to it. It needs to line up with it so that it conforms to the gospel, right? Anything that doesn't line up, and that's the thing. Anything that doesn't line up in God's word, if we're preaching or coming from a place that's not sound in our teaching, it's false doctrine or it's false theology, it's actually not beneficial to the gospel. It doesn't conform to it. It's not in line with it. So that's what I meant earlier. To compromise truth in any way is to compromise with the gospel. And we don't need to do that. But we need to rather affirm it with the way that we teach lovingly. We teach lovingly, but we never compromise on truth. Never compromise on truth.
Thank you guys for joining us today on this podcast. We're excited to continue on. This is the
12th
show. So that's a pretty cool achievement just mm-hmm. to have been able to do 12 thus far. And we're looking forward to many more. If you have a subject or a topic.
And if you have a guest, if you want a guest to come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. If you have a subject or topic that you would like us to talk about, again, you can reach out to us at We The Exiles on Twitter. You can also communicate with us through Seeker and Servant on any of those platforms. Yeah, and two, if there's someone that you would like us to get on the show, you can recommend that. If you're someone that would like to get on the show, reach out to us and we can try and make that happen. But we love you guys. We pray that this is edifying and encouraging to you. And until next time, keep your eyes set on Christ and fight the good fight. This is We The Exiles.